Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. You know why you're here. You want to get smart fast. No time wasted.
Well, right? To the point, exactly.
No beating around the bush today. We're talking communication, like really getting into the nitty-gritty, how we actually make ourselves understood, or sometimes, you know, don't.
A skill we all think we have mastered, but...
But there's a lot more to it than just, like, talking, right?
Much more going on under the surface.
That's what this is all about. We're looking at this article, kind of a quirky one, from the Church of Tinkerbell blog.
Faith, Trust, and Pixie Dust.
The article is called, Words Are Just Tools When Communication Becomes Manipulation.
Get you thinking already, right?
Big time. So we're going to unpack this whole thing. See how words, something we use every single day, can sometimes confuse more than they clarify.
Absolutely. It's a real problem.
And we'll even give you some, you know, practical tips to be a better communicator. Sound good?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the article jumps right in. Says straight up, words are just tools.
Simple statement, but it's kind of profound when you think about it.
It really is. We often think the power is in the word itself. But they're saying, no, words by themselves are actually pretty neutral. It's not the letters or the sounds that really have meaning.
It's the meaning we attach to them.
Yeah.
That shared understanding.
Exactly. And that's where things can get a little messy, because sometimes that shared understanding, it's not as shared as we think, you know?
Right, right. Different people, different interpretations.
Totally. The article gives this example, like, think of the word tree. What pops into your head?
Big oak tree, probably.
Me too.
Yeah.
But someone else might be picturing, I don't know, one of those tiny bonsai trees.
Oh yeah, totally different.
So for simple stuff, it's probably fine. Like if I say, let's plant a tree, we're probably on the same page, broadly speaking.
Right, but the actual picture in our heads could be wildly different.
And the more abstract the word, the bigger that gap can get, right? Like what about love? What does that mean to you?
Lots of things. Depends on context, right? But I think most people would think romantic love first.
Probably, yeah. Hearts, flowers, all that. But someone else might define love as, you know, like a deep commitment to someone, family, you know, that kind of thing.
Or even love for humanity in general, right?
Totally. And those are all valid interpretations, but they lead to very different ways of acting, different expectations, all from the same word.
It's mind-blowing when you think about it. And the article uses freedom too, right? That's a big one.
Oh yeah, freedom, huge one, especially these days. If you're in a political debate, someone might hear freedom and automatically think of like individual liberty, you know, the right to do whatever you want.
Make your own choices, be your own person.
Exactly, but then someone else could hear freedom and they're thinking about, I don't know, like freedom from oppression or even, you know, spiritual freedom through obedience to God.
Wow, yeah, those are so different.
Right, and it's all packed into one little word. So the article's point is we can't just assume everyone's got the same dictionary in their head.
Absolutely, it's a recipe for a misunderstanding.
Big time. Because here's the thing. The article argues that real communication isn't just about making noises with your mouth, it's about making meaning.
Transferring that meaning from one person to another. That's the real goal.
Yeah, so just saying words, that's not enough. It only becomes communication when the other person actually gets what you meant.
It's about reception, not just transmission.
Boom, that's the key insight right there. And the article makes it clear, like, miscommunication, it's not just a minor inconvenience, you know? It can lead to some serious problems.
Oh yeah, broken relationships, arguments that go nowhere, even bigger societal issues.
Exactly. And here's where things get even more interesting and kind of, you know, disturbing. The article says miscommunication can be deliberate, intentional.
Wait, so like people do this on purpose?
That's what they're saying. It's not just about accidentally misunderstanding each other. It's about using those potential misunderstandings to your advantage.
To manipulate people.
Well, they wouldn't use that word exactly, but yeah. They say there are certain groups who do this all the time. Politicians, for instance, trying to appeal to different voters who might interpret the same words in very different ways.
So they can say one thing, but mean something else entirely.
Basically. And it's not just politicians. They mention, you know, like evangelists trying to get converts, marketers trying to sell you stuff, ideologues trying to get you on their side.
So how do they do it? What's the trick?
Well, they use words that sound good, words that resonate with their audience. But those same words might mean something totally different to them, you know, behind closed doors, so to speak.
So you think you're agreeing with them, but you're not really.
It creates this kind of false sense of agreement where no one's really on the same page.
And that can be really powerful, can't it?
Yeah.
Because you think you're connected, but you're not.
That's the point. It's a form of manipulation, according to the article. They use the example of the word evidence in like a religious debate.
Oh yeah, evidence. That's always a tricky one.
Right. Imagine someone's arguing for the existence of God and they say, you know, there's so much evidence. For a believer, that evidence might be, I don't know, like miracles, personal experiences, stuff like that.
Makes sense.
But for someone who's skeptical, evidence means something completely different, right?
Yeah.
Scientific proof, data, that kind of thing.
Yeah, those are worlds apart.
Totally. So the person arguing for God might be using the word evidence without ever really clarifying what kind of evidence they're talking about. So both the believer and the skeptic, they both kind of nod along like, yeah, evidence, but they're not talking about the same thing at all. It's this bait and switch with language.
So sneaky.
It is. And the article's point is, it's not just that this person is a bad communicator, it's that they're being deliberately dishonest, persuading without integrity, as they put it.
Because they're not interested in actually understanding the other person's view.
Right. They're just trying to get you to agree with them no matter what. And they argue that even if you win an argument this way, it's a hollow victory.
Meaningless, almost. Because you didn't really connect with the other person.
Exactly. You haven't actually clarified anything. You haven't built any real understanding. You've just kind of played a word game.
It's like that analogy they use in the article, right? Cheating at chess.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. They say it's like cheating at chess and then celebrating your brilliant victory. Like, yeah, you technically won, but you didn't play fair. You didn't really win the game.
Makes sense. So, if winning through manipulation isn't the goal, what is? What should communication be about then?
The Church of Tinkerbell, they say it's about shared exploration, like two people trying to build a bridge between their minds.
Sounds a lot more collaborative, right?
Much more. And they say to build that bridge, you need a few things. Honesty, clarity, and most importantly, a willingness to define your terms.
Right.
Like, really make sure you're both talking about the same thing.
Which we rarely do when you think about it. We just assume we know what each other means.
Right. And then we wonder why we end up arguing. And that's why the article talks about philosophers and their obsession with definitions. It might seem like they're just nitpicking, but they're actually trying to be super precise.
Because if you don't agree on the meaning of the words, you're not really communicating, are you?
You're just talking past each other like ships in the night, you know?
Passing each other, never really meeting.
Exactly. So, all right, how do we actually protect ourselves from this kind of manipulated language? You know, it's out there, it's everywhere. The article gives us 5 tips, and they're actually really simple.
Let's hear them.
First one, just ask for definitions. Anytime a word feels vague or you're not 100% sure what they mean, just stop and ask.
So basic, but so important.
It is. Second tip, check for consistency. Pay attention to how they use words. If the same word seems to mean different things at different times, that's a red flag.
Could be a sign they're trying to pull a fast one on you.
Could be. Third tip, try to figure out their goal. Are they trying to have a real conversation, understand your view, maybe even change their own mind? Or are they just trying to get you to agree with them?
Because that changes how you interpret everything they say,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Tip number 4, slow down. Persuasive language, especially the manipulative kind, it often relies on speed and momentum. Like they're trying to rush you into agreeing before you have time to think.
Like a sales pitch.
Exactly. So slow things down. Ask clarifying questions. Take your time. Don't let them steamroll you.
Good advice.
And finally, tip number 5. This is a big one. Stay curious. Don't get defensive. If you go into a conversation feeling like you're being attacked, you're not going to listen very well. But if you're genuinely curious, you're more likely to spot any tricks they're trying to pull.
Makes sense. You're more open, more observant.
Right. So what's the overall message from the Church of Tinkerbell?
Well, they're all about curiosity, clarity, and truth. Mm-hmm. They say meaning is more important than words. And they think honesty in communication is crucial, you know, for our own personal growth and for society as a whole.
They're big on integrity, right?
Big time. They actually have this warning, it's pretty stark. They say if someone's prioritizing persuasion over truth, they're not helping you. They're selling you something.
Be wary of the salespeople.
Exactly. They also make this distinction between real communication and what they call performing.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Tell me more about that.
So they're saying that when people use language to obscure meaning, or they keep changing the definition of words without being upfront about it, or they rely on emotional manipulation rather than logic and evidence, that's not real communication. It's just a performance.
Designed to get a reaction, not to actually communicate anything meaningful.
Exactly. And then they have this really powerful call to action at the end of the art. I think it's worth quoting directly. They say, "Don't fall for the performance. Ask for the script. Read between the lines. And always, always question the words until you find the meaning."
Wow, that's powerful. So basically, don't just take people's words at face value. Think critically.
Be an active participant in the conversation. Don't just be a passive audience member.
I love that. So, okay, wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here?
I think it's that words matter, but they're not everything. It's the meaning behind the words that really counts. And we have to be aware of how people use words, intentionally or not, to shape our understanding of the world.
And that whole words are just tools idea, it's a good reminder that we're the ones wielding the tools, right? We have the power to use them effectively or not.
Absolutely. And the more we understand about how these tools work, the better communicators will become.
And less likely to be manipulated.
Exactly.
So, for everyone listening, here's something to think about. Think back to a recent conversation where you might have just assumed you knew what the other person meant. Now, knowing what we've talked about today, how would you approach that conversation differently? Would you ask different questions? Would you listen more closely? Would you be more aware of the subtle ways language can be used to shape your thinking?
It's a great exercise. It really makes you think.
It does, and it can make a real difference in how we communicate going forward. So thanks for joining us for this. Hope you found it valuable.
And we hope you'll join us again next time for another deep dive into, well, who knows what?
The possibilities are endless.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.